The following is a presentation of the New Skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU Cougars basketball is on the air.
Nell dribbles into a three, top of the key, and he knocks it down.
This is Cougar Pregame Live, brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Getting you ready for BYU versus Texas Tech. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Wipe that sleep out of your eyes. Good morning, BYU basketball fans. Welcome into Cougar Pregame Live, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Today, the 5-seed BYU Cougars face the 4-seed Texas Tech Red Raiders in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. And BYU advanced to this morning's game by defeating UCF yesterday, 87-73. And to say it was a game of runs would be an understatement. The Cougars began the game shooting lights out, going up 14-0 to start the game, and then ultimately would lead the Knights 21-3. It was an amazing start to the game, but UCF would not go away, and you wouldn't expect them to. They kept chipping away at BYU's lead, and with the help of the Cougar shots cooling off, the Knights made their own run and pulled to within 9 at halftime, using a 6-0 run to end the first half. Now, the second half would see UCF continue to find its rhythm as the Knights pulled to within 3 points. The score was 59-56, BYU with a little over 13 minutes remaining. And from that point on, however, BYU took control once again. The Cougars ended the game on a 28-17 run and sealed the deal and advanced today's matchup against the Red Raiders. BYU hit 14 of its 33-point attempts. They were led in scoring by Fusene Traore with 14 points, but also got double-digit point gains from Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall with 13, and then Trevin Nell added 12 in the victory. Now BYU gets a chance for a little payback as they face Texas Tech. Now, the Cougars lost to the Red Raiders 85-78. What made that game so frustrating for BYU was that the Cougars led by 16 points at halftime in Lubbock. And it was one of those games this season where BYU just couldn't hold on to that lead. They were outscored 53-30 in the second half. You've got to give Tech credit for making the plays to come back, but I know BYU wants another crack at them today, and they're obviously going to get it. The Red Raiders, as the 4-seed, received the double bye. They have not played a game yet in the Big 12 tournament. I'm very curious and quite frankly hopeful that it means they are rusty coming out of the gate today. All right, let's look at some of the players to watch for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Guard Pop Isaacs is certainly a guy to watch. He lit up BYU in Lubbock for 32 points. You also can't forget Darian Williams, who averages almost 12 a game. Both Isaacs and Williams were third team all Big 12. The big question today is if Warren Washington is going to play. The 7-foot center has missed the last 4 games due to a foot injury. He had 19 points and 9 boards against the Cougars in the regular season. Red Raiders head coach Grant McCaslin was non-committal on if Washington would play or not when he was asked yesterday. I will tell you, there has been a picture that has been tweeted out from the court at T-Mobile Center, and Warren Washington is in street clothes in a boot an hour from tip-off. So the likelihood is he is not going to play, but certainly nothing official as of yet. Let's be honest, if BYU can face Texas Tech without their biggest post presence, that would seem to benefit the Cougars significantly. All right, happy to have, quite frankly, I was going to say, he's filled in for me so much on the pregame show this year. You filled in for me so much, I'm almost wondering if I'm filling in for you now. Ben Bagley joining me here on Cougar Pregame Live.
The voices of Cougar Pregame Live. It's a tag team, back again.
Yeah, and by the way, when BYU wins today,
correct.
You've got pregame tomorrow. So,
what?
Yeah, so just in case, I'll be calling baseball tomorrow night.
Good to know.
Let's talk about this. We'll get certainly to the matchup in a second, but I thought what BYU did yesterday, it was sort of a script that had played out. BYU gets a big lead, and then unfortunately the lead starts to slip. But BYU didn't panic. They had the 3-point lead, but from that point on, they took over. And we've seen it. Not every game that BYU's lost leads have they lost the game. But that's a storyline that BYU's kind of had to fight all year. And I thought it was a good sign that in that type of environment where it's a one-and-done situation, that BYU found the answer and really just sort of calmed things down and took over.
You know, it's interesting because I think fans get a little frustrated with the runs, with lost leads. But one thing that I've in covering basketball for so long, NBA, college, doesn't matter. Teams are going to make runs. It's the rarity that you blow a team out and keep them blown out. And so what we've seen in this conference with so many really good teams is teams make runs. You can get big leads, and even BYU's done this. They've made runs. Now it's whether that team that's in the lead can hold off. Last night's game, Kansas made a run at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati just, okay, you got this far, boys. We're going to put it away. BYU's been able to do that. They did it yesterday. They've done it a few other games. But I think the difference has been Dallin Hall right out of the half, three-pointer. Richie Saunders. You know what? You and I are having affinity for a certain energy drink. I don't know what Richie's drink of choice is, but inject it into my veins because he comes in, hits a key three right off the bat, makes a defensive stop, comes down, hits another bucket, and all of a sudden that was like he's the run stopper with that energy because he's going to match whatever the opponent has and take it to the next level. So BYU, off of those two key players, just kind of kept him at bay yesterday. I thought they did a nice job of that.
What do you make of Texas Tech not having played a game yet? It's always the rust
versus rest.
Yeah, yep. So, I mean, and look, depending on how it plays out, you're like, well, yeah, I'm glad we had it, or wow, I really wish we hadn't. You know, it's one of those things. How do you think, if you're BYU, what are you expecting out of Texas Tech? Are you expecting them to come out and a little sloppy to start?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know why? I was shocked yesterday BYU came out as hot as they did because the nerves going into Big 12 conference play for any Big 12 team is going to be there. For your first time ever there in that arena, it's not the Orleans anymore. We're not in Kansas. We are actually in Kansas City.
I was going to say close to Kansas, yes. Just over the state line.
But BYU came out hot. I think that's a rarity. And I think Texas Tech's going to come out and the energy and stuff, it's going to cause a little sloppiness. I think having that opportunity of having a game under their belt will help BYU.
I don't know if we can expect another start like we saw yesterday where we got 21-3. but I'll tell you, I mean, it goes without saying that if you start the game well, it really does sort of set the tone for the rest of the game. And we saw once again, I mean, it's just been evident all year long, when BYU is feeling it from the perimeter, they are a very difficult team to beat. And most times people haven't beaten them when they've been shooting the ball the way they did.
They were comfortable from the perimeter. They didn't hit every one of their shots, but they were – it was interesting because there's times when BYU misses a few shots from beyond the arc, and all of a sudden you can see shots get a little bit quicker or they get a little bit more forced and they don't feel comfortable. I thought there wasn't a point in the game yesterday where the shooters on the perimeter for BYU weren't comfortable. They were – very comfortable in their shots. There was a shot Jackson Robinson took the first, I think it was in the first half, where he pump faked the guy, sidesteps, and takes a tougher second shot, but he was comfortable in doing so. Like, it wasn't forced. It wasn't a shot that I'm like, ooh, that's a bad shot. He just looked through his body language and his technique. Like, he was very comfortable stepping into that, sidestepping into that three. And I think that was a good analogy of what the whole team looked like yesterday around the perimeter.
Well, and the interesting thing with BYU is it's not a secret what they want to
do.
It's not a secret how they win. So it's interesting for these opponents to know exactly what BYU wants to try and accomplish and then still see them go out and get frustrated by BYU moving the ball around the perimeter. And that's the beauty of it. Beyond the ability to shoot the way they are, their ability to pass the ball as quickly as they are and not just pass. Look, they're passing up good shots for better shots, and I love that. That the passing from this group is an underrated thing that I'm not sure gets talked about enough.
Well, and that's what's interesting. This is what, in talking to some people recently from across the nation have either called or covered this BYU team throughout the year, not local BYU guys, but national guys, they've said this team's fun to watch because they play a fun brand of basketball, that quick, fast-paced three-pointer. And you said it, teams know what they're going to get. The scary part of what seems to be the difference for BYU is they can't be stopped because they're passing so much. The only thing that's stopping is when they have a cold night from three. And that's the fun part as a BYU fan, but it's also the scary part as a BYU fan.
Well, and it's not like where other teams, you can pinpoint a guy like, well, if we stop that guy, the battles is half won. That's not this team, because there really isn't that one go-to guy. It's really the collective, and I know that the players have said, you know, we preach the team, and the team is why we're good. And I think that does give B. Look, you want to have a guy that in crunch time you know you can give the ball to and they can make a play. But BYU has shown that if they play well as a collective, they have every chance in the world to win games.
And that's the thing. Like, the funny thing part about it, I think the last play for BYU yesterday where they're passing the ball around because no one wanted the turnover and down Holland eventually got it with the shot clock. Like that,
hot potato.
Like, that's good passing by BYU, sure, right there. Ball moved quickly across and down Holland. Oh, I'm the last guy with it. But yes, that, I mean, even in that instance where it's kind of fun,
yeah,
they're having a good time at that point. But that's what they do. And they move it. They share it. They're unselfish. There's a couple of times where the ball moves to one guy who's got an open shot, but the next guy over has a more open shot. So, hey, give it over. Take that shot. You got it. And that's what's fun about it.
You know, the interesting thing about this matchup specifically is – BYU's bigs, and obviously Foos is a big, but he's at 6'6". He's not tall like a lot of other bigs in the game. But the two BYU players with size, Waterman and Khalifa, they're not inside guys. They're perimeter guys. So what looks like Texas Tech not having Warren Washington today, that's a 7-foot center that's not going to be there. And so the Red Raiders, for the most part, like, the biggest guys I think they're going to have are like 6'7", 6'8". So they're not going to have a height advantage over BYU that maybe some teams might.
Two things that I like about that for BYU, because I think even if Washington plays, he's going to play diminished, because big guy with foot injury, not a good thing. But I think, number one, that helps Ali Khalifa, because he's not going to have to exert the physical force against him on the defensive end, because he's not going to be playing in the post against big guys. That's going to help Ali Khalifa with energy, especially with his fasting and stuff like that. It's just going to help him. It's also going to give Foos an opportunity to dominate the post, because Foos will take you to the post if you're a 7-footer. It might be a little bit more difficult, but he'll do that. But if he's not going up against a big 7-footer and guys his size but not his length and athletic ability, I Foos needs to have a big game in the post if Washington isn't going to play. I think that is one of my keys, is Foos going to dominate in the post? And secondly, I want to see a big game from Jackson Robinson. I think yesterday he had a good game, not a great game. I think tonight, or this morning, excuse me, I want to see Jackson Robinson lead this team in scoring and just dominate.
All right, good stuff, Ben. Thanks for stopping by. This is the first time we've ever done this. This was kind of fun.
We should do this more often.
Mix it up a little bit.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Well, actually, for pregame, I might be able to join you maybe on the headset from Miller Park, get ready for the baseball game.
There we go.
All right, thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we'll get you back to T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, our courtside conversation with Mark Durant. Coming up after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Here's Jason Shepherd with more Mountain America Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The matchup is the Cougars versus the Red Raiders. It's the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. And the site, the venue, is the T-Mobile Center. And that's where the great Mark Durant joins us. He'll be on the call with the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, coming up in just a little bit. Mark, that was a pretty fun morning yesterday, and certainly the start kind of set the tone for what we would see the rest of the day.
Yeah, that was strange for me, Jason, to have that much excitement that early in my day. I usually need some time to work up to that. But yeah, I thought BYU was fantastic, and one of the knocks against this team, at least for me, is that they don't start off particularly well and miss their first 5, 6, 7, 8 threes and maybe dig a little bit of a hole. But yesterday they just were just on fire early, and they got that big lead. And even though UCF, you know, made some great runs, it was always UCF having to work very hard to try and get back in it. You want to be in the position where you're holding the lead rather than trying to get it back. And I think that was hard on UCF, and eventually it kind of fizzled out at the end. But BYU made some great plays, had some really good performances from really eight guys. I mean, everybody contributed to that win. And even though UCF got a little bit hot for a bit, BYU was able to withstand, make the big plays when they needed to, and come away with the victory. That was a really impressive victory. I was worried about that UCF game. They had some real length and athleticism and some talented players, man. And it's amazing to me that BYU beat that team three times this year. It just goes to show you how good this BYU team is.
You said BYU was able to withstand the runs, and we've seen other games this season where that hasn't been the case. What do you think was the difference in the game yesterday as to why BYU was able to overcome losing the big lead, where in previous games this season that maybe hadn't been the case?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you look at the Texas Tech, for instance, BYU had a big lead going into halftime, and I think we're 3-for-19 from three in the second half. And in this game, yesterday, BYU was trying to think exactly what it was, 7-for-15 in each half. You know, it wasn't one really good half and one not so good half, and you're struggling. They were consistent efforts, so they shot the ball consistently. Also, I thought Dallin Hall was very good at making big plays and not getting flustered and getting to the rim and making good passes. I thought it was important to have him back after the two fouls in the first half, where he had to sit like the second half of the first half, and which helped UCF get back into it. I think Dallin's important to have on the floor, just because his ability to create and get downhill and get to the rim and also shoot. I mean, he hit another big three over the seven-footer Diallo. So he's important, but everybody. Richie is playing great basketball. Every time UCF would really make a run, somebody made a big play, and it wasn't always the same person. So that's what you have to have. You have to have guys step up and make big plays. Now, that sounds easy to say,
right,
but I think the guys are learning what they need to do late in the games, and even though it's, you know, they're still giving up some, they're not losing the games, and I think this team's growing and learning and getting better.
If BYU faces Texas Tech today without Warren Washington, and by all accounts it appears that that will be the case, he's at the game in street clothes right now on the floor in a boot. So, I mean, this close to the game, if that's your situation, you're not playing in this game. Again, nothing official, but that's certainly the way it looks. Well, how does that change this game and how BYU can attack?
Yeah, that'd be the biggest rope-a-dope ever to have him in a boot and in street clothes and then, oh, no, he's playing. It makes a huge difference for me. He was terrific at Texas Tech. There's just so many good big men in this league, and Foose has done a great job against all of them, really. But it does make your life a little bit easier, so Foose will have a little bit more freedom, and you don't have to worry about as much your shot getting blocked. So I expect a big game out of Foose, and Ali Khalifa played a great game at Texas Tech, and so I expect almost a dominance from the BYU 5 spot in this game without Washington in. We'll see how it goes, but to not have to worry about, like you do at UCF, if you do get a backdoor cut and you're shooting a layup, you know, you're thinking, where's the shot blocker coming from? And Trevin Nell found that out. It looked like he had a wide-open layup and gets the shot block. But Texas Tech won't be as able to do that to BYU, so it should. When you don't have that rim protector, it should spread the floor out for BYU. Let Foose do a little bit more of what he's so good at. And the backdoor cuts with Ali Khalifa, I think, will be even more open than you would have without Washington. Washington's a terrific player. And BYU had to play that game without Noah Waterman. Now Texas Tech will have to play this game without Washington. And you just have to find a way to play without those guys. But BYU, knock on wood, is finally in what appears to be a really healthy spot, which as difficult as it was during those months when you're missing guys, it's great to have everybody ready to play in these tournaments where it really, really matters.
All right, last question for you, Mark. We've seen, look, this happens all the time. Certain teams get byes, and they either skip a day or, in this case, skip a couple of days. Texas Tech will be playing its first game of this tournament. BYU has already sort of been battle-tested with the game. Do you have a preference? Does it matter one way or the other if one team has played and hasn't played? Like, how do you expect that to play out in this game?
I think it matters a little bit. I don't ever want to have to play an extra game until you win that extra game. Then you're glad you played it because you're used to playing on this floor. BYU seemed to really like this floor and the rim, so that helps them. Now, I don't think it's going to matter so much in this game, but where you don't want to have to play those extra games is you get the semis in the championship, because then you're playing 3-4 days in a row. That's when it really can affect you. But I think the advantage is here for BYU, because 2 games in 2 days is not a huge deal for these guys. They're young and fit. But so I think the advantage is for BYU because they've seen these wins. They've had success. They've shot well. But it's not a huge advantage, but it is a little bit of a help to have played a game already.
Okay, well, I know that they have beverages in the media room that may or may not have some caffeine in it. So if you need it, I know that it's in there. Get your energy going, because this should be a fun one today. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Jay says this huge section of RC Cola. Did you drink RC growing up in Independence?
I did have RC Cola. Yeah, absolutely. RC Cola. Yeah, no question.
Put that in your baby bottle.
I did not have it in the baby bottle, but yes, I have enjoyed RC. I need to find out what the RC stands for in RC Cola.
It's got to be Royal something.
Royal Crown. There we go. Yes. As soon as I said it, I realized I knew the answer.
I thought Greg was going to say Royal Canadian.
Maybe Royal Cougars. How about that? That's what it's going to be after BYU wins today. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Special. All right. See you, Ben.
There we go. The great Mark Durant, you'll hear him and Greg on the call. And Greg chiming in there, so you got to hear both of them. You'll hear both of them coming up in just a few minutes. Go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. We'll take a break, get you ready to get back out to Kansas City and the T-Mobile Center. We'll go over the schedule for the rest of the day in the Big 12. Then we'll get you to the T-Mobile Center after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
With more Mountain America Cougar Pregame Live, here's Jason Shepherd.
Just checking out social media, it looks like the great Andy Reid is at T-Mobile Center. We'll take in today's BYU-Texas Tech game. And yes, he is donning the BYU gear. So I'm sure that he will get some attention there in Kansas City, the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. All right, this is the first game between BYU and Texas Tech in the tournament today. Coming up later on today, it is Houston and TCU. And by the way, the winner of our game will face the winner of Houston and TCU. Then your night games, Kansas State versus Iowa State. And then your late game, which will get underway at 7:30 Mountain Time, Cincinnati and Baylor. All right, we'll take a break. On the other side, we'll get you back to T-Mobile Center for the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show with Greg Rubel. You're listening to BYU Basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Zions Bank, for 150 years of helping you succeed, Zions Bank is for you. Let's take you courtside and join the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rubel.
Good morning once again, Cougar basketball fans. We welcome you back courtside inside the T-Mobile Center in downtown Kansas City as today the 20th-ranked BYU Cougars take on number 25 Texas Tech in the quarterfinal round of the Big 12 Championship. These two teams meeting for only the second time this season and the first time in nearly 2 months. I'm your play-by-play presenter, Greg Rubel. With me is my color commentary cohort for the last 27-plus seasons, the former Cougar hoopster Mark Durant. Mark, the basketball cliche states that it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a single season. But BYU did that yesterday. And what a well-earned win over UCF it was. That was a top 60 Net and KenPom team. Now it's top 30 team in Texas Tech.
Yeah, no, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. Greg, you know what's even harder? It is to beat 4 teams in 4 nights. And that's what BYU is facing. And your reward for having such a nice game yesterday is you get to play a tougher team 24 hours later. But I think BYU's ready for that. I think this team is deep and has good bench play and is ready to go. It's playing at a good high level right now, shooting the ball well and are healthy. And so I think this team in years past maybe wasn't built for a tournament, but I like BYU in this tournament. And they're going to have a real challenge today with Texas Tech, but there's no one in this conference that BYU can't play with and can't beat. So I'm looking forward to another exciting game here today.
Those are the words of Mark Durant. Coming up next, the words of Mark Pope, BYU's head coach, as the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show continues live from the Big 12 Championship in Kansas City, Missouri, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's time to hear from BYU head coach Mark Pope as we return to the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. Here's Greg Wrubell.
Coming up, bottom of the hour, 5-seed BYU, 4-seed Texas Tech in the quarterfinal round of the Big 12 Championship. After our game, it's 1-seed Houston versus the 8-seed TCU. Then in the late session, 2-seed Iowa State takes on the 10-seed Kansas State in the nightcap. 3-seed Baylor battling upstart 11-seed Cincinnati. Time now for my pregame conversation with BYU head coach Mark Pope, presented by Zions Bank. For 150 years, Zions Bank has been serving the communities where you live, work, and play for financial experience you can count on. For the next 150 years, Zions Bank is for you. And today, Coach Pope talks about taking on a Texas Tech team that BYU last faced almost 8 weeks ago.
Seems like it was last season. It's amazing how this league is. It's really fun. This is a great Texas Tech team that's been playing great basketball and a huge challenge for us.
Do they look any different? The Warren Washington injury, of course, is a factor, but stylistically, are they the team you saw 8 weeks ago?
They are. What sets them apart right now is how hard they cut. Their two-man game, their rifle game.
What's rifle?
It is attack and then get stopped and then find a big and then chase it again. That action is really tough, and they cut really, really hard, and they're playing great off it. And then if they don't get anything, they just immediately kind of get you occupied and then go weak side hard with staggers and screenaways and dives. And so their cutting is elite level. They're shooting the ball well. They have guys that are, you know, they're four-man and shooting 53% in the league, 52.3%. And clearly, for example, Pop Isaac's only shooting 30%, but he put on a show against us last time. And so they have a bunch of lethal shooters, and they demand a lot of space like we do, and they cut really hard. Their cutting packs are a little bit different. It's more two-man based than it is kind of our scrum with three men, but they really spread you. So they're playing great that way, and they're pushing it even harder in transition. In the second half of our game at their place, we had a tough time in transition. They're going even harder. So they've just kind of upped the ante on some things they're doing, and they're doing it well.
So Pop had 32 career high against you at their place. Warren Washington had a great game, 19-9. Yeah. He doesn't play today, so they start 6-7 in the post. Yeah. How does that impact how you plan to play this thing today?
Well, on paper, it certainly affects their ability to rim protect. It makes them a different type of defensive team, probably better feet, probably more capable of switching 1 through 5, more athletic, more mobile, and maybe slightly less rim protection. So, I expect to see some different defensive packages from them. They still can attack off the short roll. They're still fully capable. They're still playing great basketball. Just a little bit of a different feel there.
Good to have a game under your belt, though, coming into the second day.
Yeah. Every game you can win, man, is another day you get to play. So I think the guys did a nice job really competing yesterday and kind of getting used to the gym and the lights and everything else. And so hopefully we'll get off to a quick start today and be here to compete.
Coach, thank you for the preview. We'll talk to you post-game.
Thanks, Chief.
That's Mark Pope. Time now for today's Keys to the Game, brought to you by your local Ford stores. BYU basketball built Ford proud. Mark Durant, keys for BYU and Texas Tech.
Well, you mentioned Washington is out for this game. It's a great opportunity for both Bruce and Ali Khalifa to play well. I think you need at least 30 points, 15 rebounds from those two at the five position. And then, you know, Texas Tech is a team that doesn't shoot as many as BYU, but they shoot a better percentage from three, and we're 10 of 20 at Texas Tech. And so I think BYU, rather than focus on a number, they just need to be at or better shooting percentage than Texas Tech.
Those are Mark's keys as we take a break now. We remind you to go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. The BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show coming up next. Live from the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri, on day 3 of the Big 12 Championship. This is BYU Basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the Cougar Tip-Off Show, brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. The Cougar Tip-Off Show is also brought to you by the BYU Creamery, the classic taste of BYU ice cream, now also in a convenient pint. Also brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Let's head live to the All-Pro Capitol courtside seats. Alongside Mark Durant, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Good morning once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back courtside inside the T-Mobile Center in downtown Kansas City, Missouri for the quarterfinal round of the Big 12 Championship. Today we bring you BYU and Texas Tech, 5-seed against 4-seed, ranked versus ranked. The winner into the Final Four to face either top-seed Houston or TCU. This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show, brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Greg Wrubell, Mark Durant with you for play-by-play and color. Our studio host is Jason Shepard. Our coordinating producer is Terry South. Control board operator is Derek Dungan. Our BYU radio engineer is Barry Squires. And you are tuned in on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Heard today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Also on the BYU Radio app, byuradio.org. And Big 12 Radio, channel Sirius XM, channel 375. In yesterday's 87-73 win over UCF, an 18-point lead dipped to 3 points at one point in the second half. The Cougars then closed it out on the strength of a 12-0 run that began when the Knights got within three. Mark, this BYU team has taken some roundhouse punches from opponents this season, and on occasion, the Cougs have been knocked out, but more often than not, they weather the flurry of blows and come away with the decision. This is a tough team.
Really is a tough team, and we talk a lot about those blown leads, don't we, because they're pretty spectacular. But the reality is you have a team that has big leads to blow, and we're talking about Big 12 getting big leads on Big 12 teams. And really it happens less often than we think. It's just spectacular when it does. But BYU's philosophy, Greg, is you're going to have runs, but our runs are going to be better and longer than yours. And so they're okay with that. And it's just the way they play. They're not going to change. They're not going to slow it down. They're not going to not shoot an open three because they have a lead. And sometimes you make yourself vulnerable, but the results are, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, Greg. BYU's 9-4 in their last 13 games. And they're playing great basketball. So why would you want to change it? Yeah, sometimes you have those games, but man, BYU, keep doing your thing. Keep doing what got you here, and they're in a really good spot here.
And those who've listened to us throughout the year know that I talk a lot about, oh, the lead's slipping or the lead's go. But you know what? Something that you know, I've come to confront here in the last few days is that every team in the Big 12 has been in those kinds of games. We've seen it just here in Kansas City where a big lead goes away really quickly. That's how explosive and talented these Big 12 teams are.
And they all have one or two players that can get hot like we saw yesterday that can change a game. And these guys are so good, and they're all winners. You have to be a winner to get to this level. So they're not going away. They're going to come at you. And so it's a real test of wills to see who can outlast each other.
Coming up after our break, we'll check on Texas Tech. In a visit with their radio play-by-play broadcaster, Jeff Haxton, as the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show continues live from the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, site of Big 12 Championship Week on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show. Let's head back courtside and rejoin Greg Wrubell.
This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show, getting you set for BYU and Texas Tech. BYU 23-9 on the year after finishing fifth in the Big 12 at 10-8. Texas Tech is 22-9 after a tie for third in league at 11-7. So these two teams separated by a half game overall and one game in league standings. Texas Tech won the team's lone meeting this season, coming back from down 17 in front of the home fans in Lubbock to win it. Pop Isaacs had a career-high 32 in that one. Another key piece was Warren Washington. He had 19-9, but has missed the last four games due to injury. It's going to be five. He won't play. Now, before it was known that he was coming out in the walking boot, and he's in a walking boot and won't play today, I asked a Texas Tech radio broadcaster, Jeff Haxton, for the latest on Washington and the rest of the Red Raiders.
I haven't seen anything that would lead me to think that he's going to play meaningful minutes today. He's been in that boot a long time, and I just don't think it looks great for him. there were, you know, when it happened, it was against Kansas, and there was no structural damage, and it started to heal. Then they put him out there against UCF. He couldn't cut, he couldn't turn, couldn't explode. 12 minutes, no points, hasn't played since. So I don't have a great feeling about Warren, but maybe we'll get a surprise today.
Okay, aside from him, it's been 8 weeks since BYU and Texas Tech played. Where is this Red Raider team maybe today from where it was in mid-January?
You know, it's in a good place for what they've been dealt with those injuries. Those two guys were in Cambridge and Washington were supposed to be foundational pieces for this year, the transfers from Arizona State that both played in the NCAA tournament a year ago. But it's allowed guys that you never thought would play to play. Emily Yalaho has played some really good minutes off the bench. We didn't expect him to touch it unless it was in mop-up time. Mm-hmm. And he's a freshman from Finland, so he's got to learn the American game. It's been fun to watch that. And then Robert Jennings has really developed. Those two guys have allowed our other guys to keep playing their games and for us to continue to win games, finishing the year with two road dubs. Now, granted, at West Virginia and Oklahoma State, but then the Baylor win was just incredible.
And finally, recollections of what you saw from BYU the first time and what you might expect from this Cougar team second time around.
I remember guys trying to play catch-up, running around. Khalifa, it's fun to watch him for me, as big as he is out there, kind of orchestrate things. I think that we got nailed by some back cuts. I think we got nailed by some quick threes. And, you know, I think BYU plays with an overall edge that's fun to watch. And one thing that our coach, Grant McCaslin, said, we better be a lot more ready this time, because with BYU, they show up ready, and you can find yourself down 10-0 before the first media timeout, and we can't do that today. So those are the things that I remember about BYU.
Jeff, thank you for the short preview. Always good to see you. Have a great call today.
You too.
That is Texas Tech radio broadcaster Jeff Haxton. As we get set to take a break, let's hear our national anthem.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
BYU fans, if you've had any cars on the injured reserve list, Doug Smith Kia has some promising new prospects on their lot in American Fork. To see the full scouting report, visit DougSmithKia.com. More of the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show. Let's rejoin Greg Wrubell.
Right, the BYU and Texas Tech tipping just after the bottom of the hour in the quarterfinal round of the Big 12 Championship here in Kansas City. A winner gets either a Houston or TCU in the semis tomorrow night here at the T-Mobile Center. Even though BYU's left Las Vegas after almost, 30 years of conference tournaments on the strip, BYU's now playing with house money, let's say, in the Big 12 tourney. The Cougars are underdogs here. They are slight favorites. The line went to BYU -3.5. So the Cougs are actually favorites. Win or lose, we know that BYU's dancing when Selection Sunday rolls around. So this team should be playing, Mark, pretty free and easy in the quarters. Texas Tech is a quad one game, and it'll be Q1s the rest of the way here in Kansas City. No bad losses, only valuable wins.
Yeah, like the brisket poutine you had last night, Greg, at Q39. It's all gravy from here. BYU should play with a lax attitude, not lax, but a relaxed attitude, and come out. And but since you're here and you've done all the work to get here, might as well win while you're here. So, you know, go play hard and play loose and free, but go out and win a game. This is a game you can win, and I think BYU's there's nothing in this tournament or in this conference that should really strike any fear in their heart. They should play with confidence and go out and expect to win.
You know, I often say and tweet good gravy. It was good gravy last night on that poutine. Final word before tip-off coming up next. This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show live from Kansas City and the Big 12 Championship on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show rolls on. Here's Greg Wrubell.
BYU and Texas Tech moments away here in Kansas City. I walked onto the floor with Ali Khalifa a short time ago. Said, Ali, how you feeling this morning? Said, tired. And on that note, let's note and applaud Ali Khalifa, who is observing Ramadan at this time of the year. And that means fasting, no food, no water during daylight hours, which means for a morning game, Ali is going off a morning meal at 5 a.m., and then not drinking during timeouts, for example. There are other Muslims, both on the BYU team and within the Big 12 this week, that are also observing Ramadan in their own ways. I don't think Atiki Ali Atiki or Afus are fasting in the daytime hours, but Ali has chosen to do that. And we certainly honor the observance and the effort it takes to do what he has to do right now.
I love his dedication, and I totally respect him. And, you know, I think these early morning games probably help him, Greg, with that morning meal. But not having to drink during the games, I can't imagine that. You get so thirsty as a player. That's real commitment. And even though at times he looked a little bit fatigued yesterday, he played amazingly. So I expect him to continue to do that even with those restrictions. And it's fantastic what he's doing.
All right, starting lineups, opening tip for BYU and Texas Tech are next. This has been the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show from the Big 12 Championship at Kansas City on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.